for EEI Late Night with KJ.
And Jose Peraza is the hitter.
Was with the Red Sox last year. They released him in September. He struggled.
Batting for J.D. Davis. He's hitting 209 in 139 plate appearances with six homers. And 20 runs batted in. Right-handed batter. Swings and hits a pop fly to shallow right. Renfro is right there to make the catch. And the Red Sox have won seven in a row. They sweep this two-game series from the Mets. They're 5-0 in the yellow and baby blue uniforms. 12 runs, 14 hits, no errors, and four men left for Boston. 5 runs, 12 hits, 2 errors, and 9 men stranded for New York. Chris Sale gets the win, 5-0 in his 7 starts. Red Sox have won 6 of his 7. Taijuan Walker shelled again, takes the loss. 7-11 as he lasted only 2 innings. Kyle Schwarber hit 2 home runs for the Red Sox, a solo homer in the first inning, and a 3-run homer in the second, both on Taijuan Walker. Those were the only Red Sox homers. Pete Alonso hit a solo shot off Adam Ottavino in the seventh inning, his 35th of the year. Final score, the Red Sox 12, the Mets 5.
Yeah, turn it up. We are standing on the verge of getting into the playoffs. The Red Sox are hot, 7 in a row, 5-0 in the Bruins yellow marathon. Different color UCLA jerseys, but they're working. How you doing? It's KJ. The Red Sox are on a tear. 2 out of 3 from the Yankees are a must, and I'll tell you why. The streak does have to end at some point, and maybe the best day to end that streak is tomorrow to start a new one Saturday. I'll get that to that in a moment. Justin Herr, thank you for being here tonight for the abbreviated version of KJ Late Night here on WEEI.
Another EP here.
Another EP. Well, this one could be an album. It's going to be about 30 minutes. And let's just be honest, folks. There's a reason why the TV ratings for the Red Sox are through the roof. If a team averages 6 runs a game, that means for 2/3 of the game, someone's crossing the plate. See, the Red Sox started off as a nothing burger and became a something sandwich. That's Cinderella, that's Rocky, that's the Bad News Bears, Raging Bull, Game 7 of the 86 World Series. I'm kidding. A story that has a start, a middle, and an end. It's what I've talked about with the Red Sox the entire season. The team, Vegas, over under 81.5 games. Now, that would make you say, why would I watch? But they took a nothing burger and turned it into a something sandwich. Everybody likes to follow a story with an arc. The Sox were on fire. People could go back to games. It was great. Then I said, beware of the Ides of Summer. And the July and August showed up. And oh, gosh. The trade deadline mess. What are we going to do? Haim was running out giving interviews, trying to justify why the short spending. I was one of the people saying, "You look, you can't spend no money. You can't spend Tampa Bay money at a Boston restaurant." It's all part of the story. This is earned, and that's why so many people are watching. And it's more about the players than it is really the Boston Red Sox. And if you want a player who signifies everything that's happened this season, it's Bobby Dalbec. See, you remember when that nothing burger was becoming the most incredible sandwich at the beginning of the season, and everybody seemed to be hitting except for Bobby? He's like the kid who wore the Hank Aaron jersey in Bad News Bears. Looks good, so much promise, looks like he belongs out there, just couldn't hit the ball. Except for Bobby Dalbec didn't climb up in a tree and Walter Matthau did not have to talk him down. But while everybody else was doing so well, it was like, hey, you know what? How do we put Bobby on the stake up there in Salem? Get the first baseman. Even I was one of the people who said when Albert Pujols, became available, maybe this is a guy you platoon with. Forget that both of them are right-hand bats. maybe you want to get a bat in there that's, you know, hit balls in the major leagues consistently at a Hall of Fame level, even if it's a bit diminished. I was one of those people. Just as the ship started taking water in July, bloop, 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 who shows up? Not even Rocky, because when you think Rocky, he's called Rocky after he becomes something. The beginning of the movie is Rocky Balboa fighting inside of a church. That was Bobby Dalback. In the last month, Bobby Dalback is hitting .324. Virtually every hit for him is an RBI. That is must-see television. Because remember, he was the guy who couldn't hit anything when everybody else was hitting everything. Justin, you remember it had to be somewhere right when things were starting to go kind of crazy. I think this is around the time that Schwarber was picked up. And remember I'd mentioned here on the air at WEI that, look, if you just took 10% of Bobby Dalback's strikeouts and turned them into hits, he would be hitting like .271. Remember that?
I do remember this, yes.
.324 over the last month. A third of all of his RBIs have come in the last month for the season. I was one of the people who stood at the top of Blue Hill Reservation saying, we need a first baseman. This team is doing it for itself. So much so that, you know, these marathon jerseys that seem to cost, I don't know what, they go for like $500 a piece. Like if you want like a legit one, I'm like, not even, without even the last name on the back. This team is believing in the superstition that is all baseball and all New England that, hey, look, we're rolling with these jerseys. Let's ask Major League Baseball, can we play these in the playoffs, wear these in the playoffs? They say yes. That is a team come together through everything and the storms they have been through, and it's been recent, to say, you know what? Even the jerseys matter. That's how honed and focused in they are. 617-779-7937 or the text line 37937. In the small amount of time, I may be able to get a call or two in before we head out for network at midnight. Yeah, so there are some people who are like, oh, you know, those uniforms don't even have any red in them. They're the Red Sox. They look like the UCLA Bruins. They look like they're having fun. And it still could be the most stressful final stretch of the season for all of the current players right now on the Red Sox. It still could be the most stressful. The Yankees are coming to town. So, yeah, my 27 game at a time theory, it's pretty much come out about right. Said, hey, look, if they win 27 games, they go 15-12 over the course of the whole season. Through these different stretches, equal 162, they'd get to 95 wins. They're seven away. With nine games left? Is that not amazing, Justin? Isn't that not amazing?
It is amazing.
27. I know Rob Bradford laughed at me when he said, well, who knows? You know what? Check the math. Because the Red Sox could win seven of their next nine games. That's the idea. Especially when you're finishing up with the Orioles and the Nationals.
And the Blue Jays lost today, 7-2.
There you go. The Blue Jays, and to tell you who I would rather the Red Sox see in a one-game playoff, it would be the Blue Jays. A heavy swinging team that's young and in a one-day win-or-go-home situation, and you don't have any playoff experience. Those teams tend to kind of fall apart right there. Whereas, say, with the Yankees, you're like, hey, this is why we gave Garrett Cole like the $260 million for this one-night-only affair. And boy, would it be an affair. Which is why I say, hey, look, to win the series against the Yankees, if it's a loss against Garrett Cole, I wouldn't be mad. Just start up a new streak after that. So that way you finish the Yankee series, you could be four games up with your remaining six games against the two worst teams in the league, in each league. So let the Yankees and the Blue Jays tear each other apart. I think Tampa's just going to sit back and suck on Mai Tais to ride the season out. And look, they did that a couple nights ago against Toronto and still won the game. Guy never started. Like, the Red Sox have no room for that. Like, call-ups, call you next year. Do you know how much love the Red Sox would feel if fans got in cars and started going to Baltimore and to D.C. for the last six games? Nobody's going to be there. You think a bunch of people are going to be buying up Orioles tickets in Baltimore to see a team, I don't know, win their, lose their 105th game or more? Or the Nationals, who have 6-3-3 wins, which is two less than how many losses the Red Sox have? Tickets will be easily available. And I think, Justin, well, I wouldn't drive the way that I drive, but I've gotten to D.C. in 7 hours.
Didn't the Orioles just set like a record low? I remember we were talking about it. It was it was like a Little League World Series attendance.
Yeah, it was like
terrible.
Yeah, it was like, were there more people at a Little League World Series final than at a recent Orioles game? I think they played Seattle and they had a called attendance of like 6,000.
And tickets for the Red Sox game going for $15 at Camden Yards.
Get down there. Can you imagine coming off of a win streak, potentially winning two out of three from the Yankees, and then suddenly the fan base rolls deep down to Baltimore and D.C.?
And the good thing is you only need 20 of them.
Yeah, New England, you're rich. We're all, well, I'm not rich. That's why I'm on it this time of night. You get a little bargain. But you're rich. Go down, swarm those games. They're Red Sox home games on the road, and Alex Cora is going to turn around and say, you know what? This fan base came down here to cheer us to the finish line. That would be the ideal scenario. All right, let's talk Pats.
Yeah, well, it's really hard to predict what Sean's going to do. I mean, they have a huge playbook. They have a lot to choose from, and it does a lot. You can't prepare for it all, so you got to be careful of the things that hurt you that he'll come back and get you with. But then there's also a lot of things they just do well that, you know, are hard to stop. And he has good compliments to all the plays. So if you stop one thing, he's got something else to go to. And it's hard to stop both of them. So between all of what he has and then, you know, exposing the defense's weaknesses from week to week, it's why they've led the league in offense for the last 15 years.
That's Bill Belichick talking about Sean Payton preparation for this Sunday's game at Foxborough, and that you just can't say, hey, just what I see on film is what I prepare for Sean Payton. The guy's got like a Library of Congress in terms of plays, and it's a lot to prepare for. It's KJ here, late night WEEI, the abbreviated version. Does anybody else feel like this Sunday's game between the Patriots and the Saints is like the biggest must-win game of the season? Here's why. I know you're like, duh, no, stupid, it's the Tampa game. Come on. Manage expectations here. See, the game against the Bucs in week four, the idea is that the Patriots should make it an interesting game, show that the future exists in Mac Jones, and at least have fan base around the country stick around at least into the fourth quarter and make it competitive. Now, I know players are like, the hell with that, KJ. We're here to win. We don't prepare to compete and just be. But I think there is a managed expectation that, hey, a stacked Super Bowl team from last year with Tom Brady returning with every single player is a pretty hard card deal to deal with. And that is barring that anything crazy happens this weekend when they play the Rams. In fact, Tom Brady's probably going to show up like Uma Thurman. Kill Bill series, right? You don't want to throw Mac too far to that fracas. It's almost like Vivica Fox taken out by Uma Thurman in the kitchen. That wouldn't be pretty. Hey, we're kind of just alike. If you remember the scene in Kill Bill. You know, they fight a little, and then they kind of have a little conversation, and Vivica Fox tries to sneak and kill Uma Thurman, and Uma Thurman does her in. That could be Tom Sunday. He's a great kid. 45. No, I don't want to speak that into existence. The Saints game offers up two paths or scenarios that you can kind of go by, right? One, the Pats win and go 2-1. They beat the Saints into the Jesus Christ resurrection game in game four. Because think about it. The return. Jesus Christ, and no man knows when that happens. And Tom Brady, that happens the following week. That's why tickets are so high. Almost like trying to buy your way into heaven. The Pats finish 2-2 after four games. Then the fan base can say it's no worse than last year. And the lead up to the Brady week won't have as much anxiety to it. The other scenario, oh boy, and this is why I say this Saints game might be the biggest must-win game of the season. The Pats lose and they score under 21 points. Brady week and a week of comparisons that actually could distract Mac more than Cam ever could. I've always said, you know, a lot of microphones don't go to the backup quarterback's locker, even if it is Cam, but he's not here. This is where Mac may catch hell like Daryl Hannah in that trailer park trashy place that she stayed in against Uma Thurman. And you don't want to go out in a, I mean, at least Vivica Fox went out in her house, but inside of a trailer? Oh, and then potentially 1-3 going into week four. Look, the Pats don't have the toughest of schedules. If someone said to you, tapped you on the shoulder, it's like, look, you still have five games left against the Jets again. You got the Texans. I don't know if you heard that debacle tonight. I've heard Pee-wee under 135-pound Pop Warner games that were more competitive than Houston was tonight. Right? You got the Falcons. The Colts have fallen apart. And the Jaguars. That's still five games still to play. So there's a feeling of breathing, but again, this weekend's game, it really is kind of like the must-win game of the season. You know, Justin, I've done this little thing where I've been playing as the opponent on Madden just to see where things were. So week one, as the Dolphins, I did beat the Patriots. I knew what to do to Mac, and it worked. Week two, I played as the Jets. I think I won that game because I probably know what the Jets were better off doing than what they did because I ran the ball more with the Jets. Zach Wilson threw the ball. See? Listen to me when I played Madden 22. Haven't done the Saints versus the Pats yet, but let's just face it. Vegas sees this game as the Patriots as a 3-point favorite, but yet when you look inside the numbers, the Saints have given up 49 points in two games. And yeah, they're good with the run defense, but their pass defense is subpar. You would almost say any other team would at least get 7 points, 7.5 just to see. But I guess what Vegas is really saying is it still doesn't believe in the Patriots offense to score touchdowns. It's going to be interesting this Sunday. Are you ready to do some daily fantasy here? Because I doubled my money last week, Justin, on the classic. And I'll be honest, I saw Gresham Keefe's picks earlier today. I was like, huh? Like CEH? Yeah, hit that music. It's daily fantasy. I've only got a dollar on me. So here's some picks. So you remember, Justin, a couple weeks ago, I said Derek Carr would be a hot pick. So would Darren Waller. Who leads in passing yards already?
It is Derek Carr.
It is Derek Carr. Don't sweat the technique here on Late Night with KJ. Here on WEE. I've got a few minutes. So at first I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give you a few of the picks because I want to keep all the money. Last thing I want to do is see like all of New England tie me. I could have won $1 million, but 300,000 people all said the same thing as I did. And it would be like an episode of a sitcom. Maybe that's why they put Edwards-Hilaire in there as the running back. Like, they really don't believe that the Chiefs, you know, who throw everything and only run on third down if they know they're going to punt. They're not sneaky. So I'll give you three players that we can share, but the other ones I got to keep for myself. So check for Emmanuel Sanders from Buffalo. I'm playing him this week. He's lower cost option, and he's getting targets from Josh Allen. Now, even though he hasn't been catching them, they're still getting on that same page, and I think this is the week to do it. They face a Washington defense that hasn't gotten the front four push that it has the past year, and the team has given up nearly 50 points in a couple of games. James White was a 1% play last week. Oh, was hot. Gave me like 18.5 points. And with Max still in the dink and dunk phase of learning, plus there's a good chance that Harris is out this week. He's questionable. So look for a lot of dink and dunks and passes to James White, because remember, that catch is just as good as running for 10 yards. And the Denver defense, they're playing the Jets. What else do I need to say? Well, okay, I'll tell you this. It's also on the road in Denver, a mile high up in the air. It makes it worse because Zach Wilson is from Utah, and the Denver Broncos are literally like the area team for like Utah. Like if you went to a Walmart and bought a jersey in Utah, it's most like your Broncos jersey. So can you imagine Zach Wilson's family deciding not to wear that Von Miller jersey to the Sunday's game because they know it's going to be a bloodbath? So those are three of my plays in the 1 p.m. 13 game classic this Sunday for Daily Fantasy. All right. Let's move to the next. Let's finish it up here. I think we're about done with this. Yeah. Before we finish, have you seen all the photos that have been popping up from people going to this private Rolling Stone show thrown by the Crafts? Well, allegedly, there was some audio leaked. And that wasn't supposed to happen. Allegedly, some audio was leaked, and this is what happened. The Rolling Stones were playing Sympathy for the Devil, and someone brought up the conversation that Cam Newton could have won the first two games instead of Mac. Listen.
Brothers and sisters. Come on now. That means everybody just cool out.
Yeah, enough of the quarterback talk. If the Stones are playing in front of you for free, you're bragging to your friends. And in a fight break. Okay, I'm totally kidding. That's actually from Gimme Shelter, the 1970 movie, where actually Mick had to stop because someone got stabbed. But the guy did try to shoot Mick. It's a great movie. Salute to the Stones. They're in Boston rehearsing, getting ready for their world tour. First one without Charlie Watts. All right, we can play the outro music now. I'm ready to go, Justin. That's interesting, doing a whole show in 30 minutes, Justin. It's like a Hot Pocket.
Like a mixed bag.
Yeah, there you go. Like mixed nuts and everything. Hey, congrats to the New England Revolution. They're running away with the East. Like, why even, you know, you just make everybody else in the division just play with the colored soccer balls at like the four balls. You know, like you're not big enough to be on this field. But I would love to see the Revolution and Sporting KC in a finals in Gillette end of November. Oh, you might even have to bring the tractor out of Gillette's Hall of Fame. You remember from the plow game back in 82? PK, 90 plus 4 to win the championship? Nice job, Revs. All right, don't forget, Pro Football Sunday, 4 hours of Gresh's mustache. Well, it's 4 hours of stash. Gresh, Keith, Wiggy, and Fourier starting at 9 a.m. Sunday here on WEEI. Pat's Friday tomorrow on Greg Hill's show and Maloney and Fourier. Thank you so much for hanging out here. KJ Late Night, abbreviated version. Follow on Twitter at KJ Carson. Peace.